Today, I want to speak about authenticity and the soul's journey of returning to its true essence in this life. There is a well-known phrase, and many of you have heard me say it many times, my father said it many times, is that we pick up the thread in this life where it left off in the last. You know, because as mystics, we go through life weaving our relationship to God through the thread of relationship. It manifests in many, many different ways. And this moment of awakening that happens for each one of us in so many different ways, this turning of the heart, this moment of tauba, is where one picks up that thread. It is, from a mystical and spiritual point of view, the first time in your life that one has awakened on a level of the soul, on a level of the higher self, consciously connecting back to its desire to return home towards God. It, of course, doesn't mean that the soul hasn't been present in one's life before, but it is present in a very different and conscious way that transforms the human being. And all of you who have experienced that moment and the different forms that it has shown itself to you know what I mean. It is like your attention has turned from here to there. You have been taken out of one reality and thrown into a different one. And yes, before that, there may have been moments when the soul was present, when the highest was connected to the lowest part of you, where perhaps through a relationship, a love affair, an experience that touched you on a deep level, the soul was present. Perhaps it was through art or music or a reflection, if you were lucky, offered by a parent who did not forget themselves, their own essential nature, and knew how to reflect it back to you. But for most of us, the soul is in hibernation. It is waiting for that moment when it is awakened, either from a deep mystical experience that emerged in you, or through the meeting of a kindred soul, or from reading a book, or watching a video, or meeting your teacher. There are so many ways in which that moment occurs. And that is really the beginning of one's journey to live one's authentic self, to live from the deepest core of one's being. And it traverses differently for each one of us. For some, that moment of awakening then leads to a journey that takes months or years to then find a path or a teacher where that deeper authentic nature can begin to blossom, to flourish, because it has the support and a container and a system that knows how to work with it. For some, it happens that that moment of awakening is the moment of actually meeting the teacher and finding your path, and then that step that one has taken inwardly can then unfold quicker than others. It matters little. What matters is the journey begins, the moment of authentic turning of the heart continues as one finds one's way back to God. And what's really important to recognize is, and even from the very beginning, because there are so many, even in this call today, new people who have arrived, who have connected towards this path and have a sincere yearning to return back to God, is that this path, and I say this often, so many of you have heard this phrase before, this path is not a road. It is not a road back to God. A road, everyone comes together, it's all uniform and straight. A path meanders. And it traverses the topography of your soul. Because there is no one way back to God, that there are many paths, many traditions, and even within our own tradition, there are many ways back to God. There is not one. When my father first started teaching, or even before he first started teaching, early on in his time with Mrs. Tweedy, he had a dream which illustrates this point so well, where he was shown that every person had their own pot in which an egg was cooked. A different temperature, a different size pot, different amount of water. Because each person has a different journey that they take. Each soul is different, is unique. We are not the same. And even though we work within a system of Naqshbandiya Sufism, where there are practices and principles and traditions and a transmission and a teacher, it is not a uniform experience. It depends so much on one's own nature, one's own soul, how one finds one's way back to God within the context of this tradition. We each bring to bear much more than just what we take with us from the experiences of this lifetime when we partake in spiritual life. We don't just bring our conditioning and our parents and our culture and our problems and our psyche with us. We bring something much deeper, much older. We bring the memories of our soul that are imprinted and stamped on the most essential aspect of our being with us when we partake in the mystical journey. And that is a much more ancient story than the one of our psychological conditioning and problems and quirks and so on and so forth. There are memories and experiences stamped into one's very brain that are so ancient and so essential to the process of how one takes the journey. Because you do not take the journey starting afresh. You are not a blank canvas. You are a rich, multicolored painting, layered upon layered with experiences that transcend lifetimes. Because those who are drawn to mystical life, who are practitioners of mystical life, it is so rare that it is the first time that one has partaken in this. You do not usually just wake up one day and realize that you want mystical union. It comes from a much deeper web of experiences that exist much deeper and older than just this lifetime. You bring those experiences to bear. You bring those traditions you partook in, the teachings that you learned, most important, the experiences that were stamped upon your soul. You bring them with you in this life. And when they are awakened alongside the desire to return home, it is one's duty to do whatever one can to also return to that essential nature. There are two journeys. There is one of emptying oneself, of getting rid of the ego, journey of annihilation, of preparing yourself to be empty before God so you can be filled with the divine love of creation, so you can offer yourself in your most empty form. And that is one side of the journey, getting rid of the ego, or at least letting it know who's in charge. But there is this other side of the journey which happens in tandem, which is this journey of remembrance, not just of God, but the remembrance of one's own essential nature. Of living more and more and more from that place inside of you, that place of authenticity, real authenticity, not an authenticity which is based on the construct of the ego and personality and identity, which of course is developed in relationship to your experiences in this life. Yes, there may be hints of one's true self that are woven into one's personality because they are so strong inside of you, they cannot be completely banished. But they are like faint echoes compared to the real thing. They are reflections of the real thing. And one must learn to live from the most real inside of oneself, because ultimately it is that which is offered back to God. You don't just offer an empty vessel, you offer the most real vessel. The most real inside of you is given, is offered, is surrendered. The ego is like, yes, sure, but what else? You don't just surrender the ego. You don't just surrender the lower self. It is through surrendering the ego and surrendering the lower self that the true nature of who we are is revealed more and more and more. There is space for one's soul to be able to embody the lower self, to exist first more distantly, but over time more consciously, until it becomes fuller and fuller and fuller. Until there is no soul and lower self, higher self and lower self, there is just one's true essential being, that one lives in this life. That is authenticity. And when one starts the journey, of course, it takes time to make those steps from what one first felt in that moment of awakening, that moment of Tauba, that where one's heart is touched deeply, where one's soul is present and cries out to find a way to return home, to seek a way to return home. That essential cry comes not from the ego, not from the mind. It comes from the soul. And when you find a path, as you have here for many of you, and you have begun that journey, you know that it is also then a journey of taking things apart, first and foremost. It is funny, I've heard so many stories of people who come to the path, and they were quite secure in themselves at first. They have this moment of awakening, they're taken towards the path, and they've developed a self-confidence, they've developed a personality, a way to function in the world. Maybe they're good public speakers, maybe they know how to do their work. They know who they are, they say. And what usually happens is within the first few years, that is all shattered, that is all taken away. Because that whole construct was not built on what is real. That whole construct is not connected to the foundation and core of your very being. That whole construct is not steeped in this divine connection that you have in your very core of your essential nature. It is a farce. It is a glass house hovering in the air. There is nothing very real about it, just distant echoes of one's true nature. And so that has to be taken away. And first the cracks appear, and then some pieces fall away, and you are left without that construct. And so you are often left very vulnerable. You don't know how to talk in front of people anymore. You don't know anything. You're insecure because your whole way of functioning has been shifted. It's like that moment of awakening when you were taken from here to here. It's just like a foretaste of then you have to walk a different road with a whole new set of rules, with different feet and different shoes, a different step. And everything you knew before has to shift. And yes, some construct of your personality, of course, will remain. It remains even to the end, sadly. But you learn how to work with it. You learn how to accept it. You learn how to override it, how it sits within a much larger container of the self with a capital S, of the soul. And so at first, one's authentic nature is in some ways a puddle of vulnerability, a space of unknown. What you thought you were is no longer you. You aren't even sure who you are. But you know that what you were before was not real, and there is something that is real with the capital R that you want, that your soul cries out for. And you're willing to let go of the construct and allow the process to unfold. So that something else can take root inside of you. So that your essential nature can take root inside of you. Because it is not just the path that takes root inside of you. It is not just one's desire for God that takes root inside of you. It is done in tandem with this essential part of you which takes root inside of you, which fills into you. And as you create a container that allows this transformation to occur, through the practices and through one's attitude and through the principles and through Adab and the different ways that we work to build a container, an alchemical container of transformation, that container is also imbued with your essential nature. So that your very being is part of that container. So that the process of transformation does not occur in the space of separation between one's essential nature. It is done within the context of it. Your soul is there. And the more this unfolds and the deeper the journey goes, the more one becomes more conscious of and connected to the nature of one's soul. You know, we think we know who we are. We have such arrogance. We think we know who we are. We have so little idea. It is so covered over. But once we begin to clear enough space to allow our own essential nature to be present, we come to know ourselves again. We come to know ourselves again. Because before we can truly know God, before we can even truly have a relationship with the tradition on a real esoteric fundamental level and the teacher, one first has to begin to know oneself so that something real can make a connection with something real. So it can stick. Otherwise, it'll glance off. It is something that is false trying to make a connection with something real, and that doesn't really work very well. You might feel it for a little while, but then it drifts off. It can't take hold of you. What is real must make a connection with what is real. And what is real inside each one of us is so different. Yes, there is a desire to return home. There is a desire for God. There may even be a desire for truth that exists among all of us. There is the soul's yearning to go home. But the souls have different qualities. They have different stories. They have different histories. And it is so important that those unique aspects of who we are on that level are where we make the journey from. There was a dream someone shared with me just a few days ago, which echoes this and touched me very deeply. And in the dream, it's a very simple dream. And in the dream, they had been given a charger, a power charger that they had to connect to me and to the tradition. But the charger they given wasn't the right charger for them. So they were trying to figure out how to find the right charger. And eventually they found their right charger that was their own charger that they could connect to me, connect to the source of this tradition. And then it worked. And it was like, you know, this journey of finding one's own way of connecting one's own essential nature to the teacher, to the tradition, is so much of the beginning of the journey. You know, of not wanting somebody else's charger or realizing you can't use somebody else's charger. There's a unique connection that must be your own. And it is so important, especially for those who are beginning the journey, not to think that their experience should be like someone else's. Each egg is cooked in its own way. We are so different. And that is why mystical traditions like ours are never for many people. We're not for the masses. There will never be thousands of people, thankfully, on these Zoom calls. Because there's just too many pots to juggle on the stove. Because it is a path where we work individually with people. You work with the nature of each human being differently. And you cannot do that if you are juggling hundreds and hundreds and thousands of pots. You can give teachings and you can transmit energy to lots of people. That is one way of teaching. But to work with souls, you need to do it individually. You need to understand each person's soul. Not just their conditioning, not just their family problems, not just their circumstances and the stories they bring to bear of this life, but also their soul. Because, like I said, it is the soul that makes the journey. And as much as it is a journey of letting go, of emptying, of surrendering, of giving up, of creating space, it is also a journey of remembering how to be with one's own essential soul nature. What did you bring to bear in this life that you need to remember and consciously learn how to be in relationship with? What are the qualities of your soul that you need to remember how to work with? What are the histories and experiences you bring with you that you have to remember so they can be present in this life as you make this journey? One of the great mysteries and, you know, challenges of the mystical journey is that you pick up the thread where you left off before, but it isn't suddenly illuminated exactly what it was like before. You don't just suddenly get flooded with the memories and the knowledge and the experiences that you had before. It isn't like, you're back in that mountain cave or that Zen monastery or that temple or the whatever it was. No, that takes a lifetime to remember, to fully reconnect on all those levels. But that is part of the journey, that we have to remember and re-embody and reconnect and return to ourselves over the course of, again, emptying ourselves like we did before, so that we can get to a place where we can finally surrender. And if we're lucky, we can do that in this life so we don't have to come back and start the process again. And there are so many things that we bring which are helpful. We bring qualities. We bring training that we might have received in a previous spiritual school, the previous incarnation. We bring qualities of devotion, of compassion, of love, of discrimination, of discipline, of understanding of spiritual power, of learning how to be with stillness. So many things that we bring, and each one of us is different. Some of us have more qualities than others. Some of us have certain qualities and not others. It is so different. But we have to learn to work with those qualities that we have. It is not all learned in this life. It is more remembering than it is learning. Remembering who we really are, so from that place of who we really are, we can remember God. But they happen in tandem, they happen parallel. You do not first spend 50 years returning to your essential nature so you can then begin the journey to God, but there aren't enough years in one's lifetime to do this. So it happens in tandem. So that we can live authentically as we really are, as we walk the road to God. The path, not the road. There's a slip up there. The path to God. And as the years go by, there may be glimpses that come to us. Perhaps in meditation, perhaps in dreams, perhaps in waking consciousness of who we were before. The qualities that we have inside of us, they become more known to us. And also what we need to learn in this life becomes more known to us. That perhaps the step we need to make is to let go of something we are attached to, even on the level of the soul. Attachments do not just exist in this material reality. They exist, and sometimes those ones are much harder to get rid of when they are stamped on the soul. Attachments that are stamped on the soul. Attachments to a way things were, for example, that are no longer in this lifetime. And those memories and those experiences can also help us step more fully into ourselves and understanding ourselves. And allowing ourselves perhaps to be in a way that we might not think we are allowed to be, whether because we have ideas of what we think spiritual life should be. And of course, we are shaped so much by a limited outer reality that has no understanding of what it means to live from the nature of the soul. Especially in Western cultures. Because it is so important that we live our true essential nature in this life as we make this journey. And that might have implications not just on your inner life, but your outer life, what one does. It might be a very different way of living than you realize once you're more rooted firmly in yourself. Perhaps things shift for you outwardly in what one does, but maybe it's more about the way that one does things. How one lives one's life outwardly can be a container for allowing the soul to be itself. And of course, we don't just bring good things with us. We also bring things which are also stamped on our soul, imprinted on our being, which are a burden to carry sometimes. They are a wound It has not yet healed sometimes. It's a trauma that exists and stays present so deeply within us that it is transferred from lifetime to lifetime. And as one becomes closer in contact with one's true self, one also begins to understand certain aspects of those traumas that we all carry. And I think we all have them. We all have our version of those which exist deep within us. And sometimes those are then sadly outwardly manifest in different ways in this lifetime, where the pain that exists on that level deep within inside us, on the level of the soul, is again manifest outwardly. And hopefully we learn how to be with those. Perhaps there is healing that can be given, and awareness that is brought that can allow one to move beyond that trauma. And learn how to be with it, or to accept it, but to understand what has unfolded outwardly in this lifetime in connection with that deeper trauma that exists inside of us. And there are so many threads like this. The positive qualities, the beautiful qualities that we bring with us. The pain, the trauma, the history, the connections, because as many of you have realized, connections exist from lifetime to lifetime as well. Some of you have been blessed to be able to meet those people again in this lifetime, where a connection with a human being is not just a connection on the personality, it's a connection on the soul that has existed before, and you feel a great joy when that connection is again felt in this life. Or you travel again back to find your teacher and again meet your teacher in this lifetime. And that thread carries on. And all of this is, again, part of what it means to learn to live authentically. To embody one's deepest authentic nature. It takes time. It takes many, many years, just like it takes many, many years to let go of the structure of the ego, to deal with the nafs in the lower self, to surrender, to align oneself, to bring down the energy of this tradition into the lower vehicles and purify yourself through the practices. It takes time. And it takes attention. Just like it takes attention and discipline to do one's practices daily, to be in a constant state of remembrance of the divine through one's breath, to throw oneself into a much deeper space each day through meditation, to always put your attention where you walk, to be outwardly with the people and inwardly always with God. That requires attention, but it also requires attention to begin to recognize and relate to and value and honor one's true essential nature as it is revealed to yourself. And then to look honestly and openly at what lies there. And how is one going to be with that? What is asked of ourselves when we see ourselves? It's an essential question. What is asked of ourselves when we see ourselves? And the more that we see ourselves, the more that is asked of ourselves. And we know much more than we realize on that level. There is so much knowledge and wisdom that we bring to the journey. Yes, maybe we don't know it with this mind. But then we start to realize there is a different mind, a higher mind, the knowing of the soul, where so much is understood. Perhaps there is innate ways that it starts to flow. And I know many of you have experienced this, and many of you have also begun to work with this consciously. After many years on the path, you've come to know yourselves and work with that part of yourselves, inwardly in your own spiritual journey, and for some outwardly as well. There is a way to be with people, for instance, a way to connect to people on a level of the heart, on a level of the soul, because you knew how to do that. You learned how to do that. So you can work with people in that way. Or knowledge that applies to how one heals. There are knowings that can be revealed by allowing them to surface and giving them space. Giving space to who we really are, not just always crowding it out with things that we think we should learn. So much we need to forget from this life so that we can return to remember with what is most real. We can live from that place of what is most real. When I started teaching, and before that, and my father was training me, so little attention was given unto how you should do things. It was never do this, 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 and this. It was like, return to what you already know. You know how to do this. Return to what you already know. That was like 90% of it. You observe through osmosis, and you observe through observation. You see how work with people, yes, but it was returning to what you already know. You already know how to do this. You know how to work with people. Return to what your soul knows. Trust yourself, even if it makes you scared shitless and vulnerable. Trust yourself. There is no one way. But for each of us, it is the same. We have what we know inside of us that we have to learn to work with. It is also a beautiful experience to come to know oneself more and more. It is so remarkable. And it isn't experienced through the level of the ego. It isn't like, oh, the ego is like, wow, it's great. I love those soul qualities. No, it isn't like that. It's like a layer has been dusted off and you see what lies beneath. And you see it with the eyes which are grounded is what is real inside of you. And you come to know that again. It's like meeting an old friend. Remembering how to play with that friend, how to be with that friend. And then it's like stepping into a well-worn shoe or a glove that fits you. It is like that. And it is also from that place of authenticity that we must confront the parts of ourselves that need to be confronted. Because just like you must make a connection with this tradition, with the teacher, with God from what is most real, you must also confront the parts of yourself that need one's attention from what is most real inside of you. So you give your full attention to what is required. And we each also have those steps we must take in this life. Steps we did not take before. And often what we realize is that after several years on the path, you return to that same old obstacle that was there in the last life. And you're like, oh, it's you. Hi. Right. Here we are again. Because we all have to make steps. We all have more that must be surrendered. Because if you had surrendered before, why would you be here again? And so we are left to confront what we didn't before, and we must do that from the depths of our being as well. We must authentically face ourselves. We must authentically honor ourselves. We must authentically offer ourselves. Because it is a beautiful thing to be able to walk the path of remembrance, living one's true, essential, authentic nature on the level of the soul. It is the most beautiful thing. To care nothing other than being fully present in who you are before God. To offer that. And then that will go too, because it has been offered from the most complete place inside of you.